Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read just the first six verses. Again, it's just going to be kind of an introduction to the book and to what we'll find here. And so please listen prayerfully and carefully. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's begin now with prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come. We continue to study many areas. We're to learn your word from cover to cover. And Father, it's just such a privilege to, you know, with the radio, while we're in Genesis and Exodus and Joshua, and we're preaching now from the book of Revelation, and tonight we're in 1 Corinthians, and Wednesday night we're in the book of Job, and the ladies are in the book of Proverbs on Tuesday afternoon, and then, Father, to be able to come, and we're in Ezekiel in the Sunday school class downstairs, just so many areas that we just love studying your word. And so please that you will just continue to show us your way and will. Help us to study your word and to grow and to learn it. Bring us to the saving grace of salvation that's the only means of salvation that we have is through your grace. And so please show those that are lost today your saving grace that they can be saved. Bring them to the cross of Calvary for salvation. And please grow us. Have us that are saved to be more excited about every day, more excited about the day we met you, and more excited about every day that we live, looking forward to your coming to get us. Please, dear Lord, just show us your way and will today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Many times, and in past years, I would do the same thing. I would misquote this book. I would say it's the Revelations, plural, and it is not. It is the Revelation. And so we need to see and know that. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, as you look at the very beginning of that first verse of chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God the Father gave it to the Son. This precious book is the only book in the New Testament that it's a book of prophecy. We go to the Old Testament, and like where we're studying in Ezekiel with the Valley of the Dry Bones, why part of that has taken place, but much of it is still to come. And so we go into the Old Testament and we look at all the prophecies that were fulfilled when Jesus come to this earth and lived and died. So many prophecies were fulfilled, but so many more are still to come to pass. I hope that when you study the Word of God and you see these prophecies that have been fulfilled, that just strengthens your heart and makes you all the stronger, because you know that God's word is true. And when he gives a promise, that promise will come to pass. sometimes it's much further in the distance than in the future than we would like it to be. But it no less means it's going to come to pass. And so here we find that there are these things, the prophecies that is in this precious book. And we know for certain that our Lord Jesus is going to be unveiled. We're going to see so much of our Lord Jesus Christ. The future is given, and it's going to be given by a series of visions. And so we're going to be looking at those. These visions are shown to John, and John in his gospel, the Beloved. And so we know that John here is the one that God has held and is bringing this special gift to show him these things that are to come to pass. We know that John was on the Isle of Patmos, and John, what he is witnessing, what he is seeing, is going to literally come to pass. Now, I want you to think about that as we study through this precious book. These things will come to pass. Sometimes we kind of almost have to use our imagination to understand the way there is nothing on earth that can tell us the beauties and the things of the heavenlies. We just can't comprehend those. And so some of those things we just have to try to imagine how they're going to be. But it surely doesn't mean that it's not going to come to pass literally the way God speaks it. Just because we cannot understand everything doesn't mean it is not going to come to pass. And it will come to pass exactly the way the Lord wants it to. And it will be literal. Here are some things that we're going to see in this book. We're going to see light and darkness. We're going to see righteousness and unrighteousness. We're going to see good and evil opposing each other. We're going to see God the Father. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We're going to see Satan. We're going to see saved men, and we're going to see lost men. We're going to see holy angels, and we're going to see unholy angels. We're going to see time, and God's going to pull us into eternity. He's going to take us from time, which is all of our life. Everything we do is set on time, and he's going to bring us into eternity. We're going to see heaven. And we're going to see things upon earth. We're going to see things upon earth, and we're going to go the other direction and see the lake of fire. We're going to see a river of blood 200 miles long, 6 feet deep, and 10 miles wide at the great battle of Armageddon. We're going to see millions of white horses. And all of us will be riding them. And so, some don't want to, but we're going to. It's going to be a beautiful day. A beautiful day. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. This revelation, this summary of the destruction of evil and the triumph of good, and it's going to come, and it's going to be literal, and it's going to be a day that's exciting. Again, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. This book, in the very first words in this book of Revelation, clearly reveals to us that these 22 chapters contain the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have much to see and much to learn. This revelation was given by God, and it was given for the purpose of showing unto God's servants things that must shortly come to pass. Must shortly come to pass. This has been now almost 2,000 years ago that these words were spoken, that were said must shortly come to pass. Now, you and I don't think about and don't, you know, our shortly, you know, I'm going to come and see you shortly. I'm going to be there soon. You do not think of it being 2,000 years long unless, you know, you... I have been late from time to time, and so, but I have never been, and I haven't lived, I have not been 2,000 years late anywhere, because I haven't lived that long. But do you think about, as he is speaking this, must shortly come to pass, does that mean that God's word is not true? I want you to just listen, write it down if you'd like to, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So, according to God's time clock, it's only been 2 days. It's only been 2 days. And if you'll think about what, whether you want to go forwards and look at today and tomorrow, and then this time Tuesday, and then this time Tuesday at 20 after 11, I want you to think back at how fast the time has passed. The things that you've done, where you've been, but how literally how fast the time has traveled from this very moment to this time Tuesday morning. Or if you want to go backwards, if you can think back, go back into history, then let's go back to Friday. Go back to Friday at 20 minutes after 11 and think about how fast that time has passed from that time till now. 2 days. 2 days. That's the way God's time clock works. That's the way God is with time. We have passed 2,000 years since he has told us they must shortly come to pass. Now, to you and to me, it's more than, it's an eternity as we've waited for it. But to God, it's not. To God, it's just 2 days. 2 days. And so, keep that in mind as we look at this. 2 days. When we look at things spiritual, or look at things eternal, we need to look at them with God's time clock, not ours. So when we look at it in that respect, it's just been, again, 2 days. John, the beloved, is the writer of this book, but he is certainly not the author. The author is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, we'll read verse 1 and then move on to verse 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's who received it. Jesus gave it, John received it, and it's something that's going to shortly come to pass, even though in our thinking it has been a long, long time. But please never, never think a promise that God has made, that he has forgotten it. You know, you and I do that. We promise someone that we're going to do something, and all of a sudden we have got busy at the office, that the phone can ring, and I can tell somebody, yes, I'll be right there. And then just that fast, I stand up and someone comes into the office and he has something that he needs worked on. Well, how can your mind go blank so quickly? But you turn and you take care of that, and then all of a sudden 3 hours have passed and you had made a promise you'd be right there. And it was gone. And all of us do that. All of us make promises and we don't keep that promise. We don't mean to. But we just don't. God is perfect. And when he makes a promise, he will keep that promise. It's not upon your time and my time, but it's on God's time, but that promise will come to pass. And so everything that you see and read and study in his precious word will come to pass. And so what a hope, what a blessing that is for you and for me. Now verse 2. This John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So you see, it's not that John is just telling us about it as something that he heard. He saw what's going to come to pass. God put him down through future, or the future, and he was able to see all these events as they have taken place. It's kind of like Moses when he went up on the mount and God gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave him the plans of the tabernacle. You know, God not only gave special men special talents to build the furniture and to build that tabernacle, but I think he showed it to Moses. Moses saw that tabernacle. He knew what it was to look like. He knew how it was to function and to operate. And God has the power and the ability to do that. And he is doing the same thing here with John. And so not only did he hear it, the words, but he saw it, and it will take place literally, whether it be here on earth or in the heavenlies, it will come to pass. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand here. Blessing and a curse we have in this verse. Now you see, first you just see a blessing. Blessed is he that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy. Blessed is the man. But that middle part of that verse, and keep those things which are written therein. So you see, for those that don't keep it, there's going to be a curse. And so a blessing to those who read this book and keep it, a curse to those who don't. Blessed there, that very first word means happy. Happy. You know, I can preach this book and I can preach it to just scare you to death. All the things that are going to come to pass. But it says here right at the very beginning, the purpose of this book is something to be happy for the believers. It's supposed to bring joy to us. It's supposed to, as that hymn said, work. And studying this, we see where the lost are going, and it should stir our hearts and excite us to go out, but it should bring joy to us knowing our God is true, knowing our God is in control, and knowing that we are a child of God. Happy we should be. It's a blessed book that should bring joy to the hearts of all believers. Blessed are they that read this book aloud. That the words there, and our language sometimes doesn't give everything to us, but this is, blessed are they that read this book aloud to the assemblies. So as we read this book, as we come together every Sunday morning and we read this precious book, it will be a blessing and bring joy to each one of us and happiness to us as we read this book, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ. But also blessed is the man that reads and tells it, but also blessed is the man that hears. Blessed is the folks that hear this precious word proclaimed. And so we're here to hear the end of the destruction and the evil of Satan, and the victory, the end and total victory of our Lord and Savior as we watch it unfold. So blessed are they that listen, and that listening is a hearer and obey that comes together. This blessing that we have here in verse 3 is also recorded in chapter 22, verse 7 of this same book. And so now the curse is stated back in Revelation 22, and we'll go back there and we'll even back up a little bit and read the blessing first. Revelation 22 And the seventh verse is the same blessing that we have here in chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now, go on to verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which were written in this book." Now, you could say that that means that your name could be, you know, if you're saved and you begin to preach and teach this falsely, that your name will be taken out. No, God knows the future. And he knows that if you're going to deny this book, your name was never written, and what you have done is closed the book of life to where your name will not be recorded there. So salvation cannot come unto you. And so is it important that we look to this book of Revelation, and is it important that we trust its words, learn them, study them, ponder on upon them? So please that we look to this word. The word back here in the third verse of chapter 1 says, readeth them. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation to doctrine." And so you see, that's not just to the book of Revelation, but it's to the whole Word of God, that we need to take it seriously and spend time in it. And I love the 15th verse of that fourth chapter in 1 Timothy. "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." You see, when you study the Word of God, it is to your gain and to your profit, but also others around us should see our changing. So when we come with the joy and the power and the love of God in us, those around us should see what God's put in us. And that comes from meditating upon these things. Studying the Word of God. You want to have the joy. You want to have the power. You want to have the love that God has for you to give and to live and to enjoy. Then we need to study His precious Word. And again, it's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for the others. Those that are around you will gain by you studying the Word of God. Those lost people around you, those saved people around you, it'll be a great advantage to them to know you because you have studied the Word of God. You may have a chance to share the gospel with them, you may not. But just your countenance, what you say, what they see, will come from you. And so I love that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting," in other words, what you gain, "may appear to all." So other people will see. This third verse here, verse 1 says, "must shortly come to pass." Verse 3, it tells us, "For the time is at hand." The time is at hand. We have been living in this time. This shortly come to pass time. In the time is at hand. And another term will be the last days. All these are the same term. They mean the same thing. So we are living in the last days. And if you would please, just it's not far towards the front of your Bible, the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 with me, and we're going to read these verses, 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath to these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So here in the second verse of chapter 1 of Hebrews, it speaks of the last days. And so we have must shortly come to pass time. We have for the time is at hand time. And we have the last days time. And all of them mean the same thing. All of them is the same period of time, and that period of time has been stretched to us for over 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, that time has stretched. So we're in the last times, the end times. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 and 26 gives us, and let's just go there as well. We should have kept your hand on Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So you see, our Lord Jesus Christ called it the end times when he was crucified 2,000 years ago. So all these terms, end times, last times, must shortly come to pass, for the time is at hand, is all the same period of time. And that's the time that you and I are living in today, that we're living in today. Now, we're going to just introduce this fourth verse, and then we'll take a quick look at it, and then we'll close. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Seven churches which are in Asia. There is not just seven churches in Asia. This is the seven churches that God, by his Spirit, have chosen to represent many things. Again, there are more than seven churches in Asia at this time, at the time that John is writing this. But God is just using seven. The seven churches that are going to be spoken of will be found in the second and third chapter. We're going to study them, these seven churches that he's speaking of here. These seven churches not only represent seven literal churches at this time, seven literal churches. There were seven churches in Asia by this name that literally was there, just like Parkview Bible Church. These churches were there, were present. But not only do they represent the seven literal churches, but they also represent seven church ages. Seven church ages. And we are now, I'll give you a hint, we are today, and we have been preaching about it, talking about it, we are in the Laodicean church age, which is the final church. That's the age we're in today, and you'll see why when we get to that church. So it is not only seven literal churches, but it also is seven church ages. These churches that God has chosen would perfectly fit the seven ages as well as being seven literal churches. So not only in John's day, but down through the centuries until the church is raptured, this span of time, the end times, the last days, this what's going to shortly come to pass, all this is this time. Now, again, this time started, The church age started when the church was born, back in the book of Acts. This church age will end at the rapture of the church. And you'll find that that is not doesn't come to an end at the end of the book of Revelation. The church will find to be raptured very soon, right after we study the seven churches. Then the church is raptured and it begins. Why do we know that? Because the church is taken away before the tribulation starts. So the condition of the church of Laodicea is the condition that we are living in today. Seven church ages. Seven. These seven church ages can be represented in seven defined times of history. And you can see it clearly as you study. The number seven is the number of completion, a number of perfection, and it's God's number. So you see, when we look at these seven churches, we are looking at something that is complete. And so I don't want you to miss that. The first six churches, you're going to find true believers there, ones that's holding on to the truth. But the seventh, God says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You stand on nothing. The message to the churches, to the believers, once again, is that he is going to care for us and protect us and will be taken away before the rapture, before the tribulation time begins. And so what a hope, what a day. He speaks of grace and peace here. This grace and peace, common Paul uses those words. It is all words that you and I that are saved, that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, need to hear and to know grace and peace, because without the grace of God, every one of us would burn in hell without the grace of God. Without the peace of God, we would be most miserable. God's peace comes into our heart upon salvation, and salvation can come into our hearts because of God's grace. Grace is the source of all of our blessings, everyone. It is through God's grace. Peace is something that we are allowed to possess because of God's grace, and that peace has been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all born-again believers have an opportunity to have that. And once again, and I'm just going to close, grace and peace comes by and through Him which is, which was, and which is to come, through our eternal God. That's how it comes. Now, the seven spirits, look to Isaiah 11:2, and we're going to, that's where we'll start next week. And so Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 might help you with that, the seven spirits which are before His throne. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've trusted in Him. I hope that you're excited about the study, this study, as well as the study that you have at home, that you do on your own. I hope you're excited about the study we've in Job, and we have a young man that has come up and is speaking with such authority. He's so young, and he wonders why those that are so old aren't speaking with that same power and authority. And we had such a wonderful study Wednesday night, had a great study Sunday night, and just don't miss the opportunity to come. We are in the end times, the last days. And the Word of God's very clear that that is the time to not forsake coming. Because if there's a time, something could come to pass here, could come this week, that we would never be able to meet again. Never be able to meet again. And I know that if today was the last day that we can come together to be here, that you will say, I wish I had not missed being there. Why did I not come when I could come? The Word of God tells us, warns us, that we should not forsake the assembling. Be together. learn His Word, study His Word, because we are at the end times. Now, are you going to be as much of the world says, been 2,000 years, He's not coming? 2,000 years, God's a liar? I don't think so. But we do need to take the Word of God seriously. And when He tells us to come together and to study it, and we do, be here to hear it, please. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank and praise You for Your strength and for Your power. I just ask, dear Lord, that You'll show us, dear Lord, these next 22 chapters. Some of it is just so clear to see, and others are, we just can't quite see. There's nothing in the heavens there's nothing on earth that we can compare it to in its power and its strength and its beauty many times. We just can't do it. And so only through Your Spirit can You give us peace and give us a small understanding of it as we enjoy this study. Now please, guide and lead us today, the hearts of those that are here that are lost, please, that they come. They trust in You, that cross of Calvary. When Your blood was shed, that we should be able to have life if we come by faith to You, please, that they don't miss that. Have us to be messengers of Your Word for us that are saved and be giving out Your Word every place, every opportunity that we have. That we hand out a card or we give out the sword or we tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Whatever ministry that You have given each one of us, whatever gifts You've given us, that we be busy about it. But please, dear Lord, bring us back together that we can study together and grow together, be strengthened together to be able to go out into the world and take on the world and stand for You. Thank You for this day, and I praise You for these folks that are here to come together in fellowship, and thank You for this wonderful family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.